this morning, we have the lovely Linda Wells, who is going to be speaking for us this morning. Why don't you come up, Linda? I'm getting to know... Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting to know Linda a little more. I am the vice principal at the school, so I do get to spend some time with her. And this past week, I celebrated my birthday, and I received a lovely email from Linda, where she said, it's just right here, let's read it. Happy birthday, Justine. I bet you are not as old as you look. So, just so you guys know, Linda has quite the sense of humor, so maybe we'll get to see some of that this morning, but let's welcome her as she sets up.
I could deny saying that, but she had it right there in front, so no denying. I apologize for my voice. You be praying for me. I know you're all going to want to clear your throat all the time as I'm speaking this morning, but yesterday I had a sore throat, and today this is what I have, but I'm going to press on in. Well, I too want to just say, choir, that was awesome this morning, and do you know that there is room for more of you on Wednesday nights? You can see we're a little short on men today, so come on, men, let's get out there and sing. But I just wanted to tell you that when my husband goes away, especially when it's for 2 weeks like it has been, and he's getting home tomorrow night about 9:30, so he's missing Thanksgiving, but he always tries to take care of me well before he goes. Well, he did forget something this year. He forgot to put the ice scraper in our car. And so this morning, I got up, and we don't have a garage, and our car was just covered with ice. And I looked, and there's no ice scraper, and I didn't know what to do, so this is what I found in our car, was this empty Kleenex box. And you know what? Sometimes you men think that we can't do without you. Well, you know what? I got out there, and I did this, and this, and I cleaned off the left and the right. But when I got to the middle... The middle was solid ice, and I thought, well, as long as I can see here and here and out the sides, I'll be okay. Well, as I was going down Donahue, the sun came, and it hit all this ice, and no kidding, I couldn't see a thing. And so I pulled over to the side of the road, and I thought, this isn't working good enough. And so what I did is I found Dave's binder where he keeps track of his gas mileage and stuff. So I got that in front of there, and I'm sure that the neighbors out there on Donahue were really thinking, who is this weird woman? But anyway, I got to church. My husband always says he's married to Lucille Ball, so he'll say, well, what else is new? But anyway, he's home tomorrow night. Thank the Lord. Well, today I want to speak to you, and it's not really a Thanksgiving message, because I want to speak to you today about not fainting. And it's not a typical message but for Thanksgiving, but the thing is, it's what is most in my heart. And today, I'm very thankful that we have a God who gives us hope when we feel faint. He picks us up when we fall down, and he teaches us how to practice 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Note that it says, in everything, not for everything. You see, I'm not thankful for trials, afflictions, disease, pain, persecution, debt, broken relationships, suffering, bad government, misunderstanding. I'm not excited about any of those things. I'm not thankful for them. But God teaches us how to maintain a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of hope and praise in the midst of every negative circumstance if we choose to be faithful in our circumstances and rise above them. Amen? Well, let's be truthful, though, here today. There are times in life's journey, in the race that we're all running, that we feel faint. We feel like giving up. And I had one of those times a month ago where I just felt so overwhelmed about a situation that I was facing. And I didn't feel like I had any answers. Usually I don't in those situations. And I felt so weak. And so what I did is I knelt beside my bed and I put my face into the bed and I cried and I said, Lord, I don't have any more strength for this. I don't have any more fight in this. I'm too weary, and I feel like giving up the fight.
And in the midst of my despair came this scripture to my mind very strongly. I would have fainted if I did not believe I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that so picked me up, because it was a rhema word to me that day. Because David, he was going through a trial when he spoke this. And he was confident that in this present life, God would see him through it. And I could be assured that he would see me through my difficulty too. Not in eternity, but now in the land of the living. And to see his goodness as a result. You see, sometimes we just want God's help to get us out of the despair, right? We just want to get through the despair. But he also wants us to experience his goodness. And not just in eternity, but now. Do you believe that? Amen. And it's from this experience with Jesus in my bedroom that I felt that that's the message I wanted to share with you today about not fainting. Well, I learned what fainting was in the natural realm as a little girl in the dentist chair. I went to get a tooth pulled as a little girl, and I guess I passed out in the chair. And when I came to, my father was as white as a ghost. He was holding on to my hand, and he was so pale, and the dentist didn't know who was worse, me or my father. But every time I would come in there after that, they'd make sure the window in the dentist's office was wide open so the cold air or fresh air would come in on me. But I remember fainting then. But I never fainted again until it was in the early days of the charismatic movement back in the early 70s, and I was doing a lot of reading and a lot of teaching on the area of demonology. So what happened is the enemy decided to strike back. And so I started having these fainting spells. I could be eating supper. Next thing I knew, fainting, my face on the table. I could be at church service, fainting. Could be in a store, fainting. This was getting to be ridiculous, all these blackouts. And so my husband took me to the doctor. They put the ECG on me and all those things they do, thinking it was my heart or something. They found absolutely nothing wrong. Sent me home, but these things would still happen. In fact, they would just keep coming. And if you're just fainting and fainting and fainting. So this one time, Dave had come into the bedroom with me, and I kept fainting, so I laid on the bed. I said, Dave, I just can't even stand up. I just keep fainting. So I would lay in the bed, and I'd faint, and then I'd come to, and I'd faint again. This was getting scary. Dave said, okay, Linda, we're going to sing. He says, we're going to sing Psalm 34:1-4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And back in those days of the charismatic movement, if you're as old as I am, you know there was a song that we used to sing. So Dave and I kept singing that. I'd faint, pass out, I'd come up, he'd be singing, I'd try to sing, he'd pass out. And that's what we did, is we praised against the enemy. We defeated the enemy's tactic that day. And I never fainted again until 1979, when I was very dehydrated from the sickness I was in, and I fainted at a family camp. So I know all about fainting. And fainting is not a fun thing to do. To faint is to lose strength, to lose your vigor, your spirit, and to become weak. Boy, do I ever sound like an old lady. When we grow faint spiritually, I don't like that, we lose heart, right? We lose vision, and we become discouraged and fatigued. And we lose our resolve to see the mountain removed. You see, we totally give up on that for which we're standing and fighting for. People go through a lot of tough things in life. I know that some of you here right now are going through some really challenging things. And a few of you feel like you've been hit by a semi-truck and you're just about knocked out. You're fainting and you're going down for the count. For some, cancer has struck. Others, the loss of a loved one. Or you have a prodigal child. Or you have a suicidal relative. Or you're facing bankruptcy, or the situation at work isn't going so good. I know, because you share those things with me. And I want to say this morning, don't give up. Don't faint. Believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? You see, when I was dealing with a fainting spirit a month ago, Shannon Shaughnessy was also, as I could tell by what she posted on her Facebook page. And I could so identify with what God was speaking to her that I asked her if she would share it today, because it so ministered to me right at that time. And I thought, God, I'm not the only one. I know just what she's talking about.
Just had a bit of a revelation about what I'm walking through with God right now. He is asking me to stand up and walk through some challenging things, and I want to sit down and rest. But right where I'm at, this is not the place to rest. I am like a child going on a walk with her father, and we've been walking a long way. We've already walked through paths that were hard, very hard, and I'm telling my father that I don't want to walk right now. He sees, though, that the place to rest is ahead of us, and he needs me to get up and stop pouting and walk. I am afraid to walk, though, because I can see the difficulties on the path right in front of me. I am questioning why we had to walk this way. Why can't we just stay right here? I am questioning everything to keep from moving forward. My father knows the path, and he knows where we're going. He knows where it is safe to rest, and he knows our destination. This is not the place to stop. I trust my father, so I need to get up and walk.
Amen. Isn't that good? Folks, this isn't the place to stop. Now is not the time to be faint-hearted. Like Shannon, we need to get up and walk. Well, why do we faint and lose heart? You know, always in the scriptures, there's always a natural application and a spiritual application of the word. And if you do a study, I just did a brief one on fainting. And if you do that, you'll see the natural and then the spiritual. And so I just want to share a little bit of that today and just in helping you to understand, why do we faint and lose heart? Okay, number one, first of all, we faint because we believe lies. In Genesis 45, 25 to 26, it says, "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed not." You see, Jacob's heart fainted because for so many years, Jacob had believed a lie. He believed that Joseph was dead, that a wild beast had got him. And when he finally got a revelation of the truth of his circumstances, it says that he revived, if you were to continue reading. And as Christians, we faint because we believe lies. We believe lies about who we are in Christ, about our value to the Lord and to our family or to others, what people think about us. And then the enemy of our soul, he also lies to us all the time and condemns us. Or he tells us that our circumstances are too hard, or that he's too strong for us, or things won't change. You know, when years ago when I was standing in faith for my daughter and just fighting to see her come through to victory when she wasn't walking with the Lord, I remember a time when Dave and I were getting ready to go to England, and I had all my suitcases all around my feet, and I'd heard something that she was involved in then, and I just thought that wasn't good, and I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, this is too hard, and the enemy was just like coming to me all the time, I'm too strong for you, I'm too strong for you. So this time I just kind of fell in the suitcases, and I said, God, this is too hard for me. And the Holy Spirit says, but is anything too hard for me, Linda? And of course there isn't. So that built me up, and I said, thank you, Jesus. And it helped me to go on. When I was in the Health Science Center years ago, you know, the enemy's such an opportunist when we're sick. That's when he really likes to take advantage of our mind. And I remember being in there, and my mind would go off in these things. I had myself dead. I had Dave married again. My kids growing up without me. Boy, I was having a real good pity party. Well, Dave and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And like it or not, my kids have me for their mom all these years. So there we go. But you see, when we believe lies, we start to lose heart and faint, right? But when we know the truth sets us free and we're revived again. Well, what are the lies that you're believing today and that you're fainting because of them? Number two, we faint because we spend too long in the field. In Genesis 25, 27 to 30, it says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sawed pottage," whatever that means, "and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." You see, Esau spent too long in the field. And in Matthew 13:8, it says that the field is the world. And so he cut off all that would keep him strong by being in the world. And 1 Peter 2:11 says that the things of this world appeal to the lusts of our flesh, and they wage a war against our soul, and they drain our spiritual vitality. And in Proverbs 24, it says, "I pass by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. And when I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as an armed robber, and your want like an armed man." You see, the lazy man or the sluggard, he was in the field too. But here we see the subtlety of the world. Little by little, we compromise. We don't watch over our heart. We stop taking heed to our souls, and our senses become dulled. And that's when weariness and fainting can set in. And it doesn't happen all at once. So watch out for this. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of it. And number three, we faint when we become a straggler. You see, in Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, it says, "Remember what Amalek," a type of our enemy, "did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary and he did not fear God." You see, the stragglers are always at the rear. They always follow at a distance. Yeah, they've come out of Egypt, again a type of the world. They've come out of Egypt, but they're not right up with the rest of the pack, with the rest of the group. And because of this, they will get attacked and they will get picked off by the enemy. And I felt what the Holy Spirit was saying is, if we're not right in there in the house of God, flowing with the body, being involved, serving, assembling ourselves together, receiving input, encouraging one another, we can start to faint. And in Hebrews 10, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I believe that the day is drawing near, folks, so we need to be stimulating and encouraging one another. I need the body of Christ, and so do you. Jesus never meant for us to do life alone. So don't become a straggler. Get in there. And another reason we faint is from hunger and thirst. Amos says in chapter 8, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst." And when we do not feed ourselves personally from God's word, we're not hearing his voice. We have no living water. We have no bread of life to sustain us. And we will grow faint from hunger and thirst because we're starving ourselves spiritually. Are you and I getting weak from spiritual hunger? Another aspect of this truth, God ministered to me at a camp a few years ago about my first love. In Revelations 2:2-5, it says, "I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false, and you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary or fainted. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deed you did at first. You see, God knows how hard we try to work sometimes, how we try to work hard, how we persevere through tough times, how we don't like evil or false teachers, how I haven't fainted and grown weary, that I'm right out there, knocked right out. But then he says, yet, in that verse it says, how I've not grown weary yet, but I would if I didn't keep my first love alive. And that's what he's trying to tell us. You see, our work for God must be motivated by love or it will not last. We need to maintain the same fervor that we had when we became new Christians, because if we aren't abiding in the vine, if we're not abiding in Jesus on a daily basis, we don't have the life-giving sap flowing through us for energy and the strength we need to serve in the kingdom. And what will happen is we'll become weary and faint. Have you noticed that when you stop drinking at the well of living water, that you become faint? Well, we faint from spending time with others who are fainting. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, it says, "And the officers shall speak further to the people and say, 'What man is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as does his own.'" You see, we need to spend time with those who have a zeal for God, those who are pressing into the kingdom, because more is caught than taught. And not all our time with grumblers, stragglers, doubters, cynics, apathetic, fearful, or those not walking with God, except, of course, to minister them to them and strengthen and encourage them. But we can't be drained by them, drained by them ourselves. You know, there's young people in here, and sometimes you think that your parents are kind of mean because they're telling you, you know, to choose your friends wisely. Well, it's not because they're trying to be mean. It's because they know that the scripture says that bad company corrupts good manners and morals. And the word of God says and this, and Timothy himself was exhorted by Paul, it says, to pursue righteousness, faith, and love with those that call on God from a pure heart. And Timothy, he was a strong man in the Lord. He was a good young man with a heart after God. But Paul knew that his spiritual strength could be weakened, and so can ours. And then number six, we faint from disobeying God. Most of you, if not all of you, have heard the story of Jonah and the well. Well, Jonah, in chapter 2, 6 and 7, it says, this is when Jonah was lamenting after he'd realized what had happened to him because of his disobedience. And he said, "I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord." That's usually when we start to remember the Lord, right? When we're fainting away. "And my prayer came to you into your holy temple." And so this is talking about Jonah's disobedience from going to Nineveh by fleeing to Tarshish and boarding the ship. The storm comes and he's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by a whale. Well, if I was swallowed by a whale, I think I'd be fainting too. Do you know the one time I went to this big SeaWorld place somewhere? I think it was way out when Vancouver or one of those places used to have them, or Victoria, that they don't anymore. But I remember there was this big whale, and this person was telling me they were throwing in food, and they happened to mention that this particular whale, it might have been a big black and white one, said that whales don't chew their food. They just swallow it whole. And I thought, man, I could go easily right down that whale's mouth. And so I really believed the Jonah and the whale story then, that he didn't get chewed up and he was in there. But you see, disobedience, unrepentance, or hardening of our hearts in the midst of God's dealing in our life can cause fainting and distress. Don't flee from God's presence or plan for your life because things won't go well for you. His way is always the best way, so we need to choose life. And when Jonah saw what was happening to him, that's when he repented. He says, "I'm going to Nineveh." It took a whale of experience to do that for him, but he went to Nineveh and he chose life. Well, we faint. Number seven, we faint when the battle is relentless.
In 2 Samuel 21, it says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, 'Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel.'" You see, David was a mighty man, and he fought battle after battle in the strength of the Lord. But it says that the Philistines were at war again with Israel. You see, the battles were relentless. David was wearing out, and it said he waxed faint. And this can happen to us, and it does. I've gotten battle weary at times, as I shared previously. And I've seen many of you get battle weary. I've seen leaders in this church, the enemy coming after them time and time again. I could name you here, but I won't. But you, where you've stood through those things, but I've seen you battle weary at times. And sometimes our zeal can exceed our knowledge. You see, David had to restrain. He was so used to the battle and pressing in that he didn't realize that he was wearing out. David didn't see it, but his men did. What are you and I not seeing? Because sometimes we're bringing our own fainting on ourselves, I think, because we're not seeing how weary we really are. When you are weary and fainting, you have a sickness, you have a lot of stress or a lot of busyness in your life, this is when the enemy will come, and he'll use a new sword, it says. He'll try to use new tactics to finish you off. Because he's an opportunist. So be aware of this, folks. He's out to try to finish you off and cause you to faint and be knocked out for the count. He's waiting his chance. In verse 16, it says, Ishbibenob, isn't that a great name? Please don't use that, any of you that are pregnant. Ishbibenob, a descendant of the giants, was armed with a new sword, a new trick to get David. And this is when you need others in the body of Christ to stand with you, to pray, to speak words of encouragement, and sometimes to take some of the load off of you. In verse 17, we see Abishai coming to David's rescue and killing the Philistine just as he had David cornered and he was about to do him in. That's when Abishai came and finished him off. And if you continue reading verses 18 to 21, it said there was a host of David's mighty men that stood with him, and they covered him and they fought off his enemies. And many of you here in this room have helped our family fight off our enemies through your prayers and encouragement. And I just want to say thank you for that. It means so much. We need to do that for one another. But sometimes we hide our fainting well, right? And so don't always assume that someone should recognize it in you. If you are fainting, tell someone that you need prayer. Tell someone that you need some encouragement. Tell someone that you need them to stand with you because you're feeling faint. Well, lastly, in closing, I want to just share with you quickly, how can we overcome fainting? Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9, he said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." That always amazes me when I read that portion of scripture. How can Paul and those who ministered with him talk like this? Well, they didn't quit. They didn't throw in the towel. They weren't overcome by fainting. They overcame the fainting. And they called on God. This is the first thing they did. They were people of prayer. In Luke 18:1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And Jesus said that he left in that parable to show them what to do when they were becoming weary and losing heart. So Jesus said, this is what I had to do When I was becoming weary, I'd go into the garden to pray. I'd go up in the mountain to pray. So this is what he's saying. This is what we're to do. We're to pray. And then, number two, they learn to handle adversity. You see, it says in Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And when I face a new situation or a new trial, what I've started to do now is I begin to ask this of God. I say, God, will you help me to handle this one better than I did the last one? Help me to put in practice what I've learned through the last time that I walked through some adversity. And then sometimes I go, oh no, I see myself doing the same things again, doing the same wrong things. I'm losing my joy. I'm becoming anxious. I'm letting this problem consume me. I'm fainting. And in those times, I realize that my strength is small. But, you know, there are times when we should call on others for help, but in every battle, we also need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in God, how to get our strength from Him. You see, others aren't going to be around at 12 o'clock at night or 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning when you're feeling faint, when the enemy's in there whispering, when you're suffering, when you're in pain. You know, others aren't always there. And it's those times we need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord so that we can handle those dark times. David did at Ziklag. It says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered. Has anybody thought about stoning you yet? Well, then you don't have to worry yet. You're not where David was. For all the people were embittered. Tanya's worried they might be stoning her this week. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, we sang today, all I have needed, you have provided, right? All we need, he's provided. And then in Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, a favorite scripture of all of ours, he gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary or become faint, as other translations say. And by waiting upon the Lord, that's when he gives us his strength. But we need to learn to wait upon him. And it says, we'll be like eagles. Well, what's an adversity like to an eagle? Well, turbulent winds cause the eagle to fly higher and stay up higher longer. He can see great distances because of the height that he's gained. He says, who cares what's going on below? I can see up here. I can see everything from God's perspective. And the turbulent winds just cause him to fly faster and cover more ground in greater distances. And when I thought of that, I thought, look out, devil, here we come. What you meant for evil, God is going to use for good in our lives, because we are eagle saints. We are made to fly above our circumstances. You see, Paul and those who ministered with him, they had faith and trust in God to fight their battle. In Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4, it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. We need to all put that on our fridges and on our mirror and our bathroom and in our bedroom and at work and in our car and all these places, right? And don't you love that new song that we're singing now? This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I had a few battles to fight this weekend. I had one of my family members in emergency twice this weekend. I had to walk around. This is how I fight my battles. I was walking outside out of her room. This is how I fight my battles. As they tried to get another spinal tap in her that didn't work the first time on Friday after several tries. And finally it did. And so, you know, I see that this is the way to victory. Prayer and warfare, praise and trust in God's ability to fight for us. Don't let the enemy move you off your position of strength, because God is able to do the impossible. Lastly, the result of not fainting will be this. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We sang earlier, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the devil hear you say that. I am strong. It's good for yourself you say that. We'll reap if we don't faint. What has meant to break you will be your victory. The giants will be killed. The harvest will come. Your situation will change. And there will be a reward to perseverance. Because James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you will have a story to encourage others with. Are you thankful for that this morning? I am too. Amen.